Hello and welcome to the
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Pilates Progressions Program. Tonight we are going to talk about the different Pilates aspects and anything that you guys want to ask questions about. So I'm Katrina and I'm your host, and we are going to have some of the other instructors calling in and talking. So if you have any questions at all, anything from how the program is going to work, what it's like to be a Pilates instructor, how you progress through the program, and anything that you are looking into finding out more about, please go ahead and call in. And just so you know, those of you that don't know me might not know that I do not mind personal questions. So if you want to get into some of those kinds of things and just things that you've been dying to know, please feel free to call now. In the meantime, I am going to be talking with Larry, and we're going to answer some questions that people have asked us that we think you might be interested in. So, Larry, are you there?
I think so. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. So, Larry, I was telling everybody that we are going to talk a little bit tonight about some of the questions that people commonly ask us, and see if, you know, anyone else wants to chime in and ask us some other questions, they are more than welcome. So again, the number for you to call in if you're listening is 347-838-9945. And again, that was in the email you received this morning. But again, it's 347-838-9945. And if we're in the middle of a sentence, I might wait a second till I put you on. So don't hang up. Just hang on there for a few minutes. And we will get to you and definitely answer anybody's questions that calls in. So, Larry, let's go ahead and start off. I wanted to just let everyone know and get some more background information on you. So, why did you get started in Pilates, and how did that happen?
Well, that's a good question. Well, I had never even heard of Pilates when I first met you. And
no, I remember that. That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
It was. It was the day when you picked me up from the airport, and we had barely met, and you asked me on the drive back to my house if I wanted to try a Pilates lesson.
That's right.
Remember?
Yeah. And you said yes, and so I was just totally tickled. I was definitely a strike in your favor.
Well, for those who don't know, this was before we were dating or anything, and after the first lesson, I had no idea what to expect, but I remember that after the lesson, I felt really worked out, but really loose and flexible, which I had never felt before.
Wait, I have to interrupt. The quote you used, you said, "I think I feel like I'm ready to go dancing."
I think I said mambo dancing.
Yeah.
Because I felt really, really more limber at the, well, just everything in the waist and just felt loose. So it was, yeah, it was my introduction. So that was way back in 2001, I guess, when I met you. And so, yeah, I mean, so I did Pilates classes with Katrina for, you know, 2-3 times a week. And that was back when you were teaching the classes of 4 and even sometimes 8 on the equipment. And so, yeah, my interest has really sparked ever since I started doing Pilates classes. I haven't worked out or lifted a single weight since.
Nope, you still look cute as ever.
Well, thank you. So, I mean, that's where my interest started, was, you know, doing classes a few times a week for several years. I mean, at that point, I wasn't really thinking about teaching, but that's when, you know, I was had another career and things like that. But we would always talk about it, so I feel like I got a lot of education about Pilates and how the business runs before I ever even considered doing the teacher training program.
Yeah, I remember that. You were quite the student. So what made you finally take the leap?
Well, it was a couple things. I mean, one was when we had our first baby, I guess leading up to having Hadley, our plan from the beginning was to have you work less and maybe eventually not much at all, and had me start being involved with the business and things like that. So as that started to happen and we had Hadley, then it became more, I was at the studio more, and it made sense for me to get trained. And I always knew I'd like it, and I thought, well, I'll like teaching, but I like running the business maybe a little bit more. And you know, as the years went by, I enjoyed teaching just as much, if not more, than actually running the business.
Oh, good. Well, that's so good to hear. I just remember, those of you that are listening, that he was so funny when he was going through training. It was, he's like, you know, I really liked Pilates, you know, before and everything, but as I go through these modules, every one, I just learn more and it gets more and more exciting. And you were just making so many fun comments, like you could see the fire catch on your eyes and how excited you were getting about it.
Well, I don't think you believe me. I think you just thought I was giving you a compliment because you were my wife and you were teaching the class.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't 100% sure that you were going to like it. You never know.
Well, I mean, in general, I've always had an interest in the body. And so, I mean, it interested me even before I did Pilates, just fitness, but more, I don't know, just having good flexibility like that, I always struggled.
Okay, now I just have to say that we had somebody that called in while we were talking that hung up, so I want them to call back, and I totally will get to your question. I just wanted to let Larry finish his story before we took the caller, so that was you. Call back. Larry, I really like that story. I always enjoyed thinking back when you first started. It was such a fun time that you really caught on to it and were getting so excited and passionate about it, and now you're as big of a Pilates fanatic as I am, and it's fun having your husband talk about Pilates and get excited about it, and you both know the lingo and everything. I think it's a fun thing.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's fun to even go to the conferences, too.
Yeah. Well, usually we don't get to go at the same time, so we have to fill the other one in on what we learned, but it's nice that we can have that discussion and kind of get two for one. We have to explain it to the other person.
Right. It sounded like you had a call, and that's why I stopped talking before.
Oh, no, that's okay. I will let you know if somebody calls in again. We had somebody while you were telling the story, and I waited, and we lost them. They left. So I think it might have been Elaine based on the phone number, but I'm not sure. So, Elaine, if that was you, call back. All right, so Larry, a lot of the apprentices are probably, you know, just getting started, some of the new ones and everything, and I just was wondering if you could give them a little insight as to what traits that you've seen in apprentices in the past that help them to excel. Oh, hold on. They called back. You just wait, Larry, let me take this one.
Hold on.
Hello, you are on the air.
Wait, Larry, let me...
Hi, Katrina. It was Elaine that called in.
Hey, Elaine. Not too many people
have
that.
I was trying to figure out what I was
number.
Doing.
It was Elaine.
You did it. So what's
I
your
did.
Question?
So my question to you is, how did you end up getting started? And when you started running your business, because I think you mentioned to me that you started out of your home, what did you do to bring it to the level that it is today? Like, how did you do that?
Ah, okay. Well, there's a couple different questions in there, so if I don't get them all, let me know and I can come back to them. So I think the first one was, how did I get started in Pilates?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I had never heard of Pilates until I went to college. And at Texas Christian University, where I went to school, I was a modern dance major, and part of our curriculum was Pilates. And we had a lot of different things like Bartinius and Laban and all sorts of different things that we were going through. But part of it was Pilates. And they actually had a room in the dance department. We had our own building that had Pilates equipment. We had a Cadillac and, let's see, two reformers, a ladder barrel, and I think a chair. And so, I mean, that was a lot of equipment. And so it was very, very, very old. I remember one of the reformers was blue metal, painted metal. I've never even seen that before. But I didn't realize at the time what a blessing and how amazing that was, because it's not like I had researched that and that's why I chose the school or anything. But we, every Monday for our modern class, we did Pilates, and they would teach us an exercise, and we were supposed to practice it on our own, and most people didn't. But I really got into it and really enjoyed all the alignment and the detail and fun stuff you could do with it. And on the side, I knew I wasn't going to be a dancer. That wasn't really my thing. I'm not like Gumby girl, which you guys have probably all noticed. But I wanted to go into PT. And so as a pre-PT, you can't really have a major in that. You have to have a regular major. So I was majoring in dance and doing all my pre-physical therapy prereqs. And part of that was like a two-year internship I did with a PT who specialized in dance injuries. And he was wonderful, Greg Gilman, and he really helped me understand what the whole insurance industry and how the physical therapy center works and everything. And I realized that I love injuries, but I hate acute injuries. I don't like them when they're, you know, in so much trauma that they can't move and you're just icing them and doing E-stim and stuff like that. That to me is not fun. I like them post-rehab, I realized, which I had no idea what the difference was before I did that internship. So I also realized that I do not like dealing with insurance. I really resented all the limitations that Greg had on him, and he was constantly giving away tons of extra modalities for free because people would come in and they'd have like a hip replacement and they'd have three visits and no modalities, and it was awful that, you know, an insurance bureaucrat was telling this, you know, PT professional what he should and shouldn't do on people. So that really frustrated me. The other thing that frustrated me, which I'm not sure if this is like everywhere, but I suspect it is, that there was an attitude difference. In the Pilates studio, people were really grateful to have you work on them. They were really excited because they had no expectations. But in the physical therapy realm, people were kind of snotty and mad that they were there. A lot of them were there for workman's comp, and they were resentful that they were hurt, and they wanted you to kind of fix it. And insurance wasn't going to pay for them to have really adequate visits, and so they had to do a lot of homework, and they didn't like that, and they didn't do it. And then they didn't get better, and then they were mad at the PT. So all of that led to me realizing that I really didn't want to go into PT. And at the same time, incidentally, I was learning more about Pilates and seeing, wow, I can do all this post-rehab work, not deal with insurance, and get started a lot quicker and not have to deal with all this extra school. So I actually, when I was in college, one semester I took a lot less course. I only took like one technique or something, and I focused in and I did my certification through the Physical Mind Institute and got all my hours done and started teaching and was making a lot more money than my friends that were waitressing on the side and really enjoyed it and was applying all the stuff that I was learning as a dance major. So that's how I got started, and it was a lot of fun. It was a nice way to... Did that kind of answer that part of the question, Lily?
Yes. It's actually really interesting to hear, like, just how you got started.
Yeah, that was back in the old days. And then the second part of your question was about the studio, is that right?
Yeah, how did you get from, like, obviously teaching during college to eventually being able to have your studio? Because I don't think, like, just overnight it just happened. So I'm just kind of curious about how that took place for you.
Yeah. Well, I did teach a lot while I was in college. I taught a lot of variety, which I was looking back now. I know a lot of people don't get that much variety, but I think because I was so interested in the injuries, I tended to draw people that were injured. And back then it was very different. When I first started, we would get called into the studio I was working at in Texas, and they'd be like, there's an article out in Vogue that had just come out that about doing Pilates, and this model, former model who had turned into a Pilates instructor, she was talking about it, and the photos were all of her nude on all the equipment. And they were very tasteful, where, like, you couldn't see her nipples and her crotch and all that stuff, but, I mean, she was naked. I mean, no bones about it. And so we get people calling in and go, I'd like to try Pilates, but can I wear clothes? I'm like, please do. You know, so people didn't really know what Pilates was. You'd say, I do Pilates, and they'd go, what? And, you know, people would think you're talking about Pontius Pilate or, you know, something. It was just very strange. And then over the years, they started to understand what it was because they saw Mari Windsor's infomercials, and so now people are a little bit, you know, more understanding that
right.
there's some exercises involved, and they usually still don't even know there's equipment or that, you know, the rehab aspects, but I seem to draw right from the beginning those rehab-type people, which was very exciting to me. Let's see, I am going to answer your question, I promise. I moved back to Phoenix because I'm from here, and moved back and started working at the Village, and I helped open their Pilates program and get it started and everything else, their first teacher there. And then I also, at the same time, they knew about this. I was working out of my home, and I had bought, let's see, I had a rehab reformer, which was a reformer with a tower attached to the back. And I had a chair, a combo chair, and a spine corrector. So I had quite a bit of equipment in the tiny little bedroom, and it was packed. It was an apartment, so it wasn't even like a house. It was crazy. And so there was a gate they have to call in, which was kind of nice because then I would know when the client was there because they had to call to get beeped into the gate and stuff. But, I just worked out there, and it was a really great thing. There's pros and cons to working out of your house. But I really liked it. It's a really nice way to go because you can find those shows you were for guests. You can do some laundry and, you know, you're in your home. It's very nice. Negative is you're in your home, so you have to make sure, depending on the entrance, that it's clean and there's nothing crazy going on, which I was a single girl, so it wasn't like there were other people in the family that I had to contend with. It was just me and my little dog. But that was basically it. So I did that for a while, and as I worked, I was in contact with Physical Mind, and they asked me to become a teacher trainer for them. And I was working out of the Village, and I talked to the owner there, and they were totally open to it, but at the time, they were actually making some changes and rearranging things for some remodeling, and it wasn't going to work out well to be where they are, and it was a very, very tiny room, and they didn't have much equipment, and it just wasn't going to work. And I think that was all a blessing looking back because they gave me, you know, their love and consent to open it somewhere else, and so I went ahead, and that was the impetus I needed to go ahead and open my own studio. So I wasn't even really looking to do that. It was more it's what needed to be done to do the teacher training, which was really pressed on me. So I started the studio out, but I waited until I had enough clients out of my house that I knew I could pay my rent because I really didn't want to go into debt, and that's really, really common with the Pilates industry. People buy way too much space and way too much equipment, and they have, you know, they may or may not have other instructors, but they have no clients, and, you know, unless you have a huge loan, which you're going to have to pay back with tons of interest, it's very hard to go ahead and get started that way. So I had enough clients that I knew I could at least cover my rent, and then anything past, you know, what I had would be bonus to, you know, get to go out to dinner that month kind of a thing. So I started, and I had under 1,000 square feet. It was actually downstairs in the building we're in now where the travel agency is, so you can kind of see it. It's a nice spot. It's got lots of windows. We had, I think, three reformers with the tower unit. So I bought two more, exactly what I had. And then I got a ladder barrel. I think I had another chair. I had two chairs at that point. And there was a little space for mat classes. We actually had mat classes back then. And I just started working. And for a long time, it was just me. Just me, and it was kind of boring by myself. There was nobody else in the studio teaching, but, I mean, my clients were there, but there wasn't the vibe and that's going on now kind of thing with other people around. So I like that, having other people.
Yeah.
And let's see, it was probably a couple years, and then I hired another instructor and then another one, and it just kind of grew. And unfortunately, Phoenix is a pretty transient city. People come and go, move a lot in that year, so we've had a lot of instructors move away, which drives me nuts because I find great instructors and then they move, but yeah, it's just a hard thing. It's just part of the business.
Got it.
No,
that it's so interesting because I knew there had to be a huge leap from where you once were to like working out of your house to where you guys are now. And I've always been curious of how the gap has been merged. So,
well,
thank you.
Yeah, well, and we went, we went from the downstairs location to the upstairs location. Oh, Larry could probably tell you the exact year, but I want to say probably 2005, 2006. No, maybe it was 2004. Maybe it's a little earlier. I don't know. He could tell you, but when we needed a little more space. And we actually had enlarged to even more at one point. And then when the economy turned down, we proactively downsized because we didn't want to get, you know, our necks out there with this rent that we couldn't handle and stuff. So we downsized a little bit. And you know what? Now we're realizing this is a really good size, and I don't think we'd want any more. So it's perfect. It's good size. But you have to be careful with that because it's always a constant check and balance of trying to expand, but yet you don't want to expand too much. And I think the dancer in me tends to like to have extra space, you know, to twirl around in or something, and it's just not functional and from a business sense. So I think a lot of instructors tend to have more space than they need, but unless you're in New York City.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'll let other people call in. I don't want to take up all the time, but I really do appreciate you answering all of those.
Oh, yeah. Did you have any other questions, Elaine?
No, that was it.
Okay. Well, how are things going? Are you enjoying the program?
Yeah, I'm literally at the almost at the home stretch where it's going to be just client hours really soon. I think
Yay.
I have a total of 35 hours left to do between observation, self-practice, and personal sessions, and everything else is client hours. And I'm at my halfway point. So, yeah, it's really exciting to see all of that kind of come together.
Okay, so here's the magic question. For
yes.
the new apprentices, do you have any words of wisdom of things that you would do differently or things they should really focus on at the beginning that you wish you'd known then?
I would say I tend to want to be perfect at everything I do, and I am learning that it's much more valuable to do some of the assignments when I don't know and then get to have the conversation with you instead of feeling like I needed to have it perfect. And I think I've learned more in having to struggle through some of the assignments instead of feeling like I really needed to be ready to do them, if that makes sense.
I would do
them sooner rather than later, and then I wouldn't be so hesitant when not knowing something. I think I'm a pretty quick person to ask a question when I don't really understand, but to just kind of ask the question and not feel dumb about asking the question, whether it's to you or to Kelly or to even another apprentice, because I just think that, like, those tidbits are what make you so much better in your practice and within your training.
Yeah, and that's really timely because a lot of people, I mean, quite honestly, most people that go into Pilates tend to have at least a little perfectionistic tendencies anyways, so it's huge.
And it's hard to break.
It is, and Elizabeth Larkham is really funny. She talks a lot about being a control freak, but being in control of your controlling nature, kind of. You have to monitor it and make sure that you don't let it get out of control, so... You're not alone
absolutely.
With that. We all have that.
No, but absolutely. And I really think that, like, whether it was taking a quiz or, like, fully being prepared for a catechism or, you know, getting my butt to, like, start doing the homework assignments in the sense of wanting to be perfect when I sent it over to you, then now I'm at the fact where I'm on homework number 5 and I'm completely – it's not that I don't understand the concept, but I'm struggling with it, and I know that it's going to be a great conversation, but I want to get it done so that way I can have a great conversation with you versus before it was, oh, my gosh, I'm going to get this all wrong. And now it's a very different approach of, okay, what else can I do for that type of client that I'm not seeing, and that's what's going to make me better. So I think that the mind shift has really shifted in the past 6 months of going through this. But I also think it takes you 6 months to learn and understand something and know that you're not going to have all the answers. And I think when you first start, you just want to know it all. And so I think that's where the hard hurdle comes.
Yeah, and that's really good advice for them to, you know, work on just jumping in and doing it, because it is hard to do that when you have the tendency to be a perfectionist and such. So advice, great advice.
But I have to say, Melissa was giving me a self-practice hour, and I know that I hyperextend, but I had no idea, and with her dance background, she kind of informed me about how to get out of the hyperextension, and I just have to say, I think every single one of the instructors needs her to teach them how to do this for any client. Because it's been such an eye-opening revelation, and it has made, even though it's hard for me to do, it's made a lot of the exercises, like, I don't know, long stretch and up stretch and elephant and everything that requires a straight leg that I would automatically put it to hyperextension, it is no longer hyperextending. And I've done it on 3 clients now, and they can't believe how much nicer it is on their joints. So,
oh, that's,
I mean,
good.
I think for them, they have to know that, like, we're learning from them as much as they're learning from us, too.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things I wanted to just highlight with this radio call-in, that you guys can call in and ask questions or give tips or praises. You know, I'm sure, hopefully, Melissa's hearing this and enjoying, you know, hearing your name on it, and that we're all thinking she's great. And, you know, if you have questions about the assignments, they can call in the future and just ask those questions, because, like you said, you had questions. Everybody else has questions, too. So it's one of those things where, you know, if you have the question, probably someone else does, too, and we can all benefit from it. And the same thing with, like, your tidbit about what Melissa was sharing with the hyperextension. You know, if you have that experience, probably everyone else can benefit from it, too. We just want to develop that kind of a forum for us all to learn from each other.
I think that's awesome.
Yay.
Well, I don't have anything
so
else,
much.
But I'll let somebody else call in.
Okay. Well, thank you, Elaine. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye. Hey, Larry, you still there?
I think so.
Oh, you are there. Thank you. So, Larry.
Well, I had to call back.
It's okay. We still love you.
I'll have to say, if anyone's listening, it's a little bit hard to know exactly when you're on or if you're muted or not.
Okay. Well, we have another caller. I'm going to see. I don't want to leave them hanging, so we'll see how they do with this.
That sounds great.
All right. So you are live on the air. Who we got here?
Hi, Katrina. It's Debbie.
Hey, how are you doing, Debbie?
I am good, thanks. How are you?
Good.
Good.
So what's your question tonight? Do you have any questions?
Well, I don't necessarily have a question, but I will say that I was just listening to Elaine, and I thought that her comments were perfect, because I thought it's so true that you really need to, like her comment about getting the assignments done and doing them in the midst of everything instead of waiting. And because, I mean, you know very well that I am completely neurotic with this stuff, and I totally obsessed over every little thing that we did. But I will say that I totally agree, because the assignments that I did along the way, where there'd be things I wasn't sure about, or I would call you and say, okay, this is where I'm going with this is the right direction, and we would talk about it. And though I learned so much from those assignments and those experiences, way more so than, you know, anything else. And I think that it kind of that whole idea ties into the sort of your concept behind the apprentice program, you know, where and also into the studio really as a whole, you know, just the whole inclusive nature of the studio and being able to constantly just discuss things, you know, with each other and learn from each other and help each other. And, you know, I think it's just so important, you know, to be open to that and not to feel like you have to be perfect, because it's hard.
You don't have to be perfect. We all know this is a growing process, and it's a process that is filled with weird mistakes and funny stories,
mm-hmm.
but I'm really trying to encourage the community and the discussion and camaraderie and stuff, and that's one of the main reasons we're doing this, so that people can learn from each other and we're not just there in our own little shell teaching by ourselves, mm-hmm. but yet next to someone. We want to reach out and discuss it with the others and everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's what makes, you know, your studio so fabulous, because as an instructor, you know, it was one thing to have that experience and that availability, you know, as an apprentice. But now as an instructor, I mean, we still, you know, all of us, we still will go over stuff with each other and, you know, ask each other questions and, you know, what, you know, I'm stuck with this one, or I just don't know what to do with this one, or, you know, this is happening when I'm doing this. What do you think about this? Or do you have any ideas about it? You know, and that's huge. I mean, it really makes a big, big difference. And sometimes, you know, you just need another set of eyes and or another set of ears or another brain. And, you know, it really helps. Mm-hmm. It really helps.
Well, it's nice to be comrades and on the same page, because for those of you that haven't been to a lot of other studios, most of the time the instructors are pitted against each other to try to have clients. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not like at our studio where we all share clients and it's an open hand. It's more of a, this is my client. Don't talk to my client. I don't want to discuss my client with you because you might steal my client, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that really works against them, I think, for that camaraderie and having that discussion kind of a setup.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you feel that way.
Yeah, no, I really do. I feel very strongly that way. And I, you know, and having spoken to people at different places who teach and you know, they're so paranoid to go away because, you know, it's like, you know, their client's going to cheat on them and then, you know, like, they're finished. And, you know, it just becomes like a whole neurosis. And I think it's really sad. And I think it's really just such a benefit to us continuously to have that sense of community and to be able to talk with each other and the apprentices, you know, too. I mean, like, you know, like Elaine said, learning something from Melissa. I mean, we, you know, we learn from them too. It's like, you know, the teaching drills, which, you know, I love. I mean, I still will, you know, if I can do it, I would love to watch teaching drills continuously, because you forget little things and there's little nuances. Sometimes somebody throws something out and it's a great cue or it's a great idea or it's a different way of looking at it or it's a question or something and you're like, oh, yeah, you know.
Exactly.
I really do. And the other thing I was going to say was, I know for me, going through one of the things that I had struggled with for a little period of time at the beginning was observation. And I wasn't really sure at the beginning, like, what I should be observing, how I should be, you know, what I should be writing down, what was important, what was not. And I sort of went through this, like, kind of phase of, you know, I was writing down every exercise and then, like, you know, if I hadn't done the module yet, I would be like these bizarre little descriptions of them and, you know, whatever. And then, you know, and it kind of went on and on. And then, you know, as I moved forward, then I realized, okay, no, I really need to pay attention to, you know, what are they cueing? What are they doing? You know, how are they saying this? How are they dealing with this person? Whatever. And then, you know, and it kept kind of morphing as I started to teach and, you know, I would run into little, you know, challenges and then I would try to look and see how other people did them and stuff. And so I thought that maybe, you know, you could provide some help, especially to the new apprentices, you know, in terms of the way observation changes throughout the apprenticeship and how to utilize it the best so that you're not just sitting there bored and doodling and whatever, but you're really learning from it, because it really is. It's a great thing to do. And I think there's a lot of value and even following, you know, sometimes like I know I was, you know, I would read the red triangles and I would look at everybody's schedule and see, okay, I really want to observe this one. And then be like, well, I already observed that one. But I found when I went, and I still go back through my notes sometimes, and I found that there were times where when I observed the same instructor teaching the same person, maybe like a couple of weeks later, a month later, it was really interesting to go back and see what the changes were, if there were changes, or, you know, did they do it differently, or, you know, that kind of a thing.
Very exciting. Very exciting mm-hmm. to see that.
Yeah.
Especially as an apprentice watching, because you can really see the progress over the time of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. which is great. You know, definitely.
It's a really, really good thing.
Yeah.
So, Debbie, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Can you tell everybody, like, a little bit about why and how you got started in Pilates?
Well, yes, I can. I had never liked exercise in my entire life, and the only thing I did ever was gymnastics when I was, like, preteen. And pretty much as soon as puberty hit, that was about it for me. So I was out of there, and I really just never got into anything. And after I had my third little babe, and I was, you know, just had no muscle tone. My knees were always a mess, and my back always hurt, and my shoulders were always tight, and it was just miserable, and it just never really occurred to me to do much about it. So anyway, when my daughter was, almost three, whatever, and I put her into a little, you know, preschool for like 2 mornings a week, and one of my girlfriends, whose daughter was also there, said, let's go, you know, we'll go work out while they're in their little thing, because you have like 2 hours or whatever. So we went to work out, and I honestly don't even know what she said to me, because I was never a class person, never even, you know, I think we were on the treadmill or something. And she said to me, well, at 9:30, there's a class, a Pilates class. And I don't even know if I'd heard of Pilates. I have no idea. I didn't know anything about it. I had no clue what I was doing. Still don't know how she got me in there. She got me in there. I was so lucky that I had this amazing woman who was just a great instructor, and it was a mat class, and there were only maybe like six other people in the class, and it was just very basic and beginner. And one of the funniest things that I remember, that I've probably told everybody way too many times, but one of the exercises at one point was open leg rocker, and I proceeded to do a very clumsy backward somersault instead of open leg rocker. It was
That's
very
funny.
Horrifying and whatever, but anyway, my girlfriend and I were in hysterics, and you know, thoroughly amused everybody. But anyway, I left that class and I just felt so good. I mean, I really just felt like longer and more just relaxed and energized. I don't even know. I just felt so good. And I felt so good after that I actually said to my girlfriend, I said, let's go back, you know, and that was kind of it. And then I went, kind of morphed from, you know, going in 2 days a week to then, you know, doing anything I could to figure out how to get there 3 days a week, and then became completely obsessed, and everything stopped. I had to do my Pilates class, and, you know, 3 days a week, like clockwork, I did this class, and I was really lucky. I had great instructors, and it was just math. And then it just kind of, you know, snowballed from there, and then I just, you know, wanted more. And then I heard about the equipment, and then I tried a reformer class. And actually the first reformer class, I liked it while I was doing it, sort of, but it was like five or six people on reformers. And I ended up really hurting myself afterwards, because I didn't get enough, you know, well, I didn't really get very much personal attention, but I really had no idea how to hold myself on the equipment or how to move or anything. And so I was in a little bit of agony for a while, but yeah, and it just kind of snowballed, and I loved it. I just felt so good, and I got stronger, and I was in, you know, the best shape of my life, you know, at that point, and it was just so ridiculous, but so fabulous at the same time. So, and that was
That's
it.
Great.
Yeah,
it's fun to hear those stories of how people get started, because sometimes you get so into the training, you forget what brought you all there, and it's exciting to remember all the amazing things. So
yeah,
did your little aches and pains in your knees and all that stuff, how are they doing?
Oh, totally gone. You know, I mean, my knees used to, if I went hiking, or if I went like, you know, for a bike ride, or, you know, anything, sort of, you know, and it was always like weekend warrior kind of stuff when I did it. If I had done that, then I would be walking and all of a sudden, like, I would feel like my knee was going to collapse, you know, and I was getting pain. And I think I actually went to see an orthopedic surgeon once about my knees, to get an x-ray, and I don't even remember, I mean, years ago. And, but no, that it was like totally gone. I mean, everything, my back was so much better. I have shoulders now. I never
Yay.
Had shoulders. I mean, I had to pick out handbags by the way the strap was, because straps did not stay on my shoulder, because I had no shoulder. My shoulders just sloped down. I mean, really, I had no muscle tone at all. And now I actually have shoulders. I mean, it's like a whole different world, and my back doesn't hurt all the time. And the only time I just start to feel aches and pains is when I have just been too crazy and I have not paid attention to myself and, you know, forced myself to just, you know, get in there and work out regularly. And that's the only time. And that's when I say, okay, got to get back in there, make it a priority, you know. But otherwise, yeah, no, it's changed everything. It really has. And I really, you know, teaching for me sort of just, it just kind of followed in a very fluid way because I wanted everybody to get it and to feel as good. And I would be in class and, you know, and somebody new would be there and they would be kind of struggling with something. And, you know, it was one instructor to 20 people or whatever. And I would be like, you know, whispering, if you just tap right here, if you lean back, or if you just, you know, pull your shoulder over here, or, you know, do this, whatever, it'll be so much better, you know. And I would be talking to people after class, you know, if you did this, it's great, and you should try this, and, you know, it was so funny. And
that was, you know,
yeah, that was it. It was like, I wanted it just drove me crazy if people said, oh, I tried Pilates, and it hurt my neck, or it hurt my back, and I was like, no, it doesn't have to be like that, you missed it, try it again. So, yeah. You know, and that's, I think, kind of what continues to inspire me now, because I want everybody to get it. I want them all to have a phenomenal workout. I want them to get stronger, to feel better, to see improvement in their body. And when they do, there's nothing better. I mean, it's the best feeling in the world. It really
is.
It's awesome.
It is.
Really,
yeah,
awesome.
It energizes you like nothing else and just changes the whole body. And it's, you know, it's with confidence that I could say, Do your knees still hurt? Because I know if you're doing Pilates, you're not going to just disappear. Amazing.
Yep. Yeah, it is. It is amazing. It is. It's an amazing thing.
Well, thank you, Debbie.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And I hope, you know, all the apprentices take advantage of this because it's a great opportunity. So
yeah, well, some of them might be a little shy at first so they, you know, scope out and know what's going on. But
yeah.
I think they'll jump in real quick.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
If you're out there and you have a question, call in. So thank you, Debbie. I appreciate that. And Larry, are you there? Yeah. We will have you back on.
Bye.
Larry, are you still there? Larry? I think Larry is not there anymore. So we will see if we can get him back on there to answer the question that we were talking to him about before, because I think he is the perfect one to answer that. But I wanted to talk for a few minutes about, oh, there he is. Okay. And we'll see. Larry, are you there?
I think so.
Oh, you are. I love this. I can just push a button and you're magically there. Okay. So, Larry, we were talking earlier. What traits have you seen in the apprentices in the past that have really helped them excel and do well in the program and just blossom?
Well, there's a lot of things. I think in each person's situation, the more they can actually be at the studio, excuse me, each week tends to be a big factor.
Yeah,
and those that, you know, can only be there a few weeks or a few hours per week, sometimes it just appears they tend to kind of repeat the same week over and over again, kind of like Groundhog's Day, if you remember that movie.
Yeah, that was a terrible movie. It was so annoying. Just going over and over again.
I think what can be really hard, no matter how many hours you're there or not, is if you kind of jump into the Pilates world for maybe a day or two at a time, and then, you know, if there's 3 or 4 days you're not at the studio, you kind of jump back out. And then if you jump back in, you kind of have to review some things to even get started again. So the continual process of being in it all the time, no matter how many hours you can be in the studio, I think is probably the key thing.
Yeah. And I'm thinking right now, because a lot of times I think you're 100% right on, but I will say that there are some exceptions. Because Stacey's done a really great job. She is not in very often at all because she has such a crazy schedule, but she's done a really good job with the apprentice program and being on task and getting things done proactively and stuff. So there are those exceptions, but I totally agree. The more you can be in the studio, the more ideal it is to really immerse yourself deep into it and stay in it so you don't have to keep jumping in and out and everything. I think
Stacey's done a great job. I mean, she has been there, you know, most days of the week. It's just been she has 1 hour in the morning and has, you know, very limited exposure. But, you know, I think the great thing is that she really dove into the homework and just progressed through and had a really good plan, and she stuck to the plan, which has been really good. But, from the beginning, sorry?
She's like the follow-through queen. She's great at following through with that other stuff, all the assignments and everything.
But since with her limited availability, I think that, you know, now this new P3 program, where all this information, not only these, you know, call-in sessions, are she's able to attend at home, but even if she can't listen to this live, she can listen to the archive.
Exactly.
You know, and all the other videos that you're doing and we'll put together, that should just increase the learning curve, I think, for everyone.
Yeah, that's what we're excited about. I've got lists and lists for all of you guys of questions and different topics that we're going to cover in this. So you guys are getting so much information, so rich, and the fabulous thing that I'm not sure all of them quite understand yet, because some of the stuff is so new, is that there's a website that all this stuff is going to be archived on, so they can go back to any of it, not to worry about keeping track of all their emails, but go back and just one click, see all these different videos and hear everything and see everything anytime they want. I mean, I'm so excited about that. I know you are too, Larry.
I am. I think it's going to be a nice tool, because once we get a few weeks or months in, it'll be impossible to remember back, like, you know, which week we covered what, and, you know, which lecture was week one, which lecture was week number eight. But the website will be laid out really nicely, so they can just look at the topic titles and go right to it.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be very, very exciting to see all that stuff come to fruition and everything. So I think, and you can tell me what you think about this, Larry, I think that one of the traits that really can help other apprentices is just self-motivation, taking responsibility for all the material that we give you and applying it, and just really having that little fire underneath yourself and such. What do you think about that?
I agree. I think that really shows itself when somebody has a plan and they, you know, plan out their not only their day but their week, and then write it down and then, you know, make sure they stick to their plan.
Yeah.
And everyone's schedule is different. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Sorry. I was just going to say,
okay,
I guess a lot of that's also self-discipline. You know, so not only, you know, making the plan, but being disciplined enough to stay true to it. And I think that's not a very common characteristic that you find nowadays.
That can be hard. I mean, life is so busy now. I think that one of the suggestions you've made already, and maybe that one of the first videos, was to find an accountability partner.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's in the
yeah.
P3 program or somebody outside, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think that's crucial, because you have to have somebody that you're being held accountable to, that you don't want to let down if you didn't do what you're supposed to do, that might be disappointed in you or such. It's a great way to utilize peer pressure for good. You know, you hear about peer pressure being bad all the time, but peer pressure can be good. A little pressure bringing out the best in you.
Well, hopefully
so
they're so excited about learning Pilates and what they're doing that they're, you know, sharing it with somebody several times a week, whether it's a good friend or a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse.
Yep.
You know, and that can act as somewhat their accountability.
Mhm. Yep. You need that pressure there. It's like a diamond being formed. You got to have that pressure exerted on it to make it really shiny and sparkly later.
Right. Well, what I guess I didn't quite complete my thought, because I just stopped talking about it. But, you know, if they are excited about the program and sharing it with somebody, I think that's another trait that serves them well, because if they're excited about it and they're talking about it, I think that passion will definitely show through in the program when they teach. I know that recently we sent out some of the evaluations to some of the clients, and, you know, not every apprentice got one even returned back from the clients that we sent them to. But anyway, some of the comments that came back were that, you know, certain instructors had you could just tell the passion just oozed out of them. I mean, that they were conveying that to the client, and even if the client came in not very excited or encouraged, that it was contagious from the instructor, that they just get really excited about doing Pilates that day. So it makes a big difference.
Yeah, it does make a big difference. It's huge to hear that feedback and everything, and see that contagious spark of excitement going crazy. So,
Yeah, you know, I think one other thing, too, that would be a key thing for somebody going through the Pilates training to do well, the ones that really excel, are the ones that truly embrace the idea that Pilates is different than any other kind of exercise.
Yeah, it does. It really stands alone. That's one of the things we're going to highlight as we go through the progression program, because we want to really make sure everyone understands how different it really is and how exciting it is and how those differences really set it apart. And not only that, but as you go through, you know, understanding those differences and how it's set apart is going to set you as an instructor apart, because, you know, personal trainers or yoga instructors or, you know, group fitness instructors, there's a lot of them out there, and you have to be amazing in order to really stand out and command attention for, you know, a client and such. But Pilates instructors, there's not as many. I mean, almost every studio I talk to, you know, when we're out and about, they're looking for instructors. And it's so comical in this market how Pilates instructors are so in demand and needed. But it really does set you apart, because you have a very special skill set that is different than anybody else.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what? I have a question for you.
Yes.
So what's the most comedic situation you've had in teaching Pilates?
Oh, no. Okay. This is a great one to end on. Well, I had this sweet lady who had been a client for a long time, and I loved her dearly. And she and her business partner, who is a man, would work out every, you know, three times a week together doing a duet. And they were running a little late, and she came in, and she was getting dressed in the dressing room, came out, and she always had these cute little workout outfits. And, you know, she lays down, and we start, I think we were doing footwork or something, just, you know, get her warmed up. And her business partner was, oh, he's going to be a few minutes late. And so I look over her, and lo and behold, she has a hole in her cute little workout outfit in a very not good spot. Basically, from her pubic bone to her waistline, the whole seam had come undone. And, well, no, the worst part was she had no panties on. And I'm just, like, sitting there with a horrified look probably on my face going, oh, dear, what do I tell her? Do I tell her? Do I not tell her? Do I just pretend I can't see it? So finally I get up the gumption. I'm like, okay, I just have to tell you there's a little stitching missing in your seam there. And I was so embarrassed. I was so mortified that I couldn't not tell her, knowing her business partner was going to come in any minute and lay down on the reformer next to her and be like, oh, what are you doing? And she just laughed. She goes, oh, he doesn't care. He's seen it all before. And, you know, to this day, I have no idea what she meant by that, because it was not her husband. And she did have a husband. And I was just like, wow, just mortified me. And the fact that she didn't care just made me laugh even harder. So I was just, yeah, a little naive girl, just totally embarrassed by that.
I'm glad it wasn't me.
Yeah, I'm trying hard not to say their names because I'm worried I might blurt them out by accident. But hopefully she didn't wear that pants again. If she did, she sewed them up, and I didn't see any more flashes of her that I didn't need to see. But she did not change her pants.
Yeah, that makes me think of that man that used to come in those unitards.
Oh, he was so sweet. Okay, so for the rest of the audience, he was this precious man. He was probably, what, 70-something?
Probably.
He was a snowbird, and he would come down here, and he would wear these head-to-toe spandex outfits. And they were not black spandex. No, they were, like, bright blue or red. And then he had these funny stories, and he was just trying so hard not to laugh when he was telling them about how this is what football players wear when they train. Oh, dear. And it was not a pretty sight. It was not pretty. It was not what a football player would look like in them. I'll just put it that way. Oh, so cute. He was a nice man, though.
He was nice.
You get people wearing all sorts of good stuff. So. Yeah, that was probably the most comical. Okay, Larry. So
why don't you give the phone number, what?
Oh, the phone number to call in?
I'll just say one more time, maybe this last, you know, 6 minutes, somebody wants to call in.
I can do that. Okay, so if anyone else wants to call in, one quick question. It's 347-838-9945. That's the number. Now my screen is kind of hidden. So 347-838-9945. And we would love to take any more calls. I thought we might end on a fun note, Larry. So what do you think if we give him a teaser of some of the fun stuff yet to come?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Do you think that they would enjoy that?
Probably so.
Okay, so we have, and I don't think I've ever given them numbers, we have 26 weeks of the apprentice program, or the P3 program, and then we have 4 bonus weeks. So we're kind of starting out with the bonus weeks because it's not the super most exciting part, but it's really critical. And we're doing the teaching that we did this week. And then next week we have self-practice and personal sessions, what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and everything. And then we have observation. So observation, we're going to go over what to do with all those hours. So just know those are coming up. Those are not the sexy ones, but those are going to be some of the super fun articles. And then after that, we've got some super exciting topics that range all over the board. So I'm just going to give you some teasers with that. We're going to do things like on the springs and settings. We're going to go over the core and breathing and neutral and compliance. Vision casting, this is so value-adding. We're going to deal with some of the osteoporosis in pregnancy again with a little more depth and spinal movement. We're going to talk about demonstrating and teaching classes, talk about seeing
for all the different